This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No, I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on today's program, and I think we're going to have a really great hour for you again today. We're going to get to talk about baseball. We're going to get to talk about what's going on in the world of sports, a little bit of golf, a little bit of tennis. UNK Chancellor Doug Christensen is in studio with us for our Loper Link today. We'll also talk with Sean Ryan of College Baseball Insider. They've got to be a little excited out there. They're based in Virginia. Virginia's in. Virginia Commonwealth is in. Maryland gets in. We'll be talking about that. Plus, special guest Kyle Simons is going to join us on the show today. He is a relief pitcher, started five games, but he's with Texas A&M, graduated from Grand Island Central Catholic, part of their state championship team going into his senior year. And he's going to join us in our next segment here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So we're looking forward to talking to Kyle, who appeared and got the save, actually, in their super regional win over Cal the other night on Monday.
Yeah, he ended up going to junior college there in Kansas, and then Texas A&M picked him up. And I think Nebraska wanted him to walk on, Doug. University of Nebraska wanted him to walk on, and Texas A&M said, well, we got some money for you. Here you want to get? He goes, well, I think I'll come down here then.
Missed the boat. He was the National JUCO Pitcher of the Year a season ago.
Yeah, you know, one thing he said, he did say, hey, I'd like to go to Nebraska. That's where I'd kind of like to go. And but all of a sudden, you know, so they asked him to walk on, and I think maybe they would have had some money for him if they'd have known, if he'd have said, hey, A&M offered me some money. What do you, you know, but I don't know how it all went down, but maybe we'll ask him, and then maybe we won't.
Well, I think it's one of the things that we'll be talking about with our first guest today, the Chancellor Doug Christensen. Our Loper Link is brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charter West. He's been our sponsor of Loper Link from day one. We appreciate it. This will be our final one for this session. We'll take a couple of months off. Then when August gets rolling around again and we jump into the fall sports, we'll be talking about that. Of course, anytime anything's going on with the Lopers, the Broncos, the Huskers, we keep you up to date. But when you go to the Blue Gold, and good morning, Doug. How are you?
You're telling me you're saving the best for last?
Well, no. God, no. We always like to put the cherry on top, my friend.
Okay.
So it's like the best for last.
Okay.
I don't want to, you know, I know how things are. You don't want to. I've got to start off with this. We played the Blue Gold on Monday, and usually they have the golfers out there. They'll help you out, give you a free tee shot. Yeah, I know. Thanks for all the crap I've been getting, by the way, for the magnificent photo that has been in the Kearney Hub, Facebook, and
looks a lot like Tiger
all
Woods
across the country. I could have walked it out, but it would have screwed up the photo. But if it hadn't been for the Chancellor and the two young ladies on the women's golf team, we might have struggled a little bit on six. You know, we convinced you to get up there and hit one, and you striped that baby right down the middle. Did you stop there, or did you have a few more throughout the day?
Oh, that was probably my best one.
Well, we appreciate it.
Well, that's good. We really appreciate your support, you know, and it's great to have people come out and play. It exposes them to the university, but it really also exposes them to our student athletes. And those are the ones, you know, administrators get pretty boring if you're hanging around them all the time. The spice is to go see student athletes and get to know them as individuals. And the two young ladies that were with me are great examples of that. So we're glad you were there. That 2-foot putt, by the way, did it go in? Because I noticed we didn't see that in the picture in the paper.
Most people think that we had to take the picture a whole bunch of times, and there never actually was a putt. Yeah, it was. It was about a 25-foot bender, double breaker. I can exaggerate on the other end, right? Let's talk a little business.
Yeah, that's good.
I found out a couple of things, met a couple of the new staff members that we can't talk about yet that were out there this weekend, especially football filling things in there. But I found out that Michael Colgate is going to transfer to the University of Nebraska. Now, this is something that would not be publicized. That's just one of those things. If Nebraska had somebody leaving to go to another school, unless there was a backstory to it, it would not be publicized. So good for Michael. Hope he does a great job at Nebraska.
Super young man.
But this transfer issue, this leaving issue, you don't hear about it for a student because it's mostly an athletic situation. And some of the coaches at all levels are saying, we have to do something about this. From one side, you hear we need to tighten the reins. From the other side, John Cook, volleyball coach, told me in 2 or 3 years, this isn't going to be a problem because you're going to be able to do whatever you want. Leave, go wherever, and play immediately. How do the chancellors, the folks in the MIAA, is this a concern?
Well, I think it's a concern because there's obviously two really different ways of the way student-athletes are treated. One of them is in the Division I model. And I think that's where John Cook's talking about, that we're going to open up those floodgates and it's going to become a free-for-all. And and that's very difficult because students become a commodity on that. You know, and where can I get the best deal? I'm going to go here. You know, if I have a good year, I can go. If I have a bad year, I can't go. All those sorts of things. Division II, we really are. The transfer issue isn't that great because we don't have that many students because they're, first of all, trying to get an education. And they happen to compete. Michael Colgate's an exception. Wonderful athlete. He's a better young man. Wish him all the luck in the world. I really like Michael Colgate. And, you know, he's probably got some other options in life maybe available to him. And so, I think that's great for most of our student-athletes. So we're not we don't have a big transfer issue in Division II. Where the problem may come is if you transfer in conference. Let's say you're a linebacker and you're going to transfer to a sister institution or a fellow league member and you know all the signals and so on, that's the reason there's got to be some restrictions on releases and allowing them to transfer and how you do that. That could be a very unfair advantage. As you go up the ladder, that probably isn't as true. We're more interested in getting students in, getting them a degree, and getting them out.
And again, this hasn't, I can think Drake Baronic did it, went to Nebraska, and Jabba Chamberlain did it and went to Nebraska, but UNK usually gets the kids that don't find their way in Division I. I think they probably benefit more. Division II schools get a lot of the kids that couldn't find a home
at Division I. Well, let's look at a Bronson Marsh.
Yeah.
Super young man. I'm glad Bronson Marsh is on our team because he's a great leader. He's a good influence on all the other players. I mean, they elect him captain. Bronson's had rough spots. He's had great spots. But he's a great young man. And, I mean, we get as many transfers as we lose and probably more. And that's true of the general student body. Our number one transfer where students leave UNK to go is Lincoln. What's our number one school that we get students from is Lincoln. We're usually a net winner in that. And so it's a fact of life. It's easier to transfer with credits within the institutions as well because the university system's pretty uniform at this point.
Doug Christensen, the chancellor, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, ready to ask a few questions that get asked of us quite
sure.
a bit, Doug. We had athletic director Paul Plinsky, and we get him in more often than you. We usually have a couple, three times a year.
He'd be a better interview than I would be.
A couple years on the job. Obviously, if you were going to put a blanket over the year, with all the success that some of the sports had, the story would be coaching changes. Some are retirements. Some are coaches leaving. Some right. are coaches being dismissed. But they were in big-time sports, football, obviously, and both basketball. How much discussion, this is a question I get a lot, how
sure.
much give and take is there between you and the athletic director, Plinsky, and how much of it, you've said you don't want to micromanage him, so how much right. discussion did you guys have?
Well, it's clearly an issue with all, and for example, I think Coach Kropp kind of caught me by surprise. I think probably caught Paul by surprise as well. But how do you tell a legend that you're not, you know, when to retire? I think that happens. But, you know, clearly with Daryl in football, I mean, Paul gave me a heads up. This he evaluated it and made his decision. You know, I don't think there's any secret. I consider Daryl a friend, and that's hard on me. That's a tough decision. But, you know, at the same time, the chancellor's not the principal of the school. And in other words, I don't make every decision, and if I did, I'd be so ineffective. You got to let good people manage and do it. I trust Paul's judgments. I think he's got a good track record. That's a tough call. And so he gave me a heads up. I mean, I had some warning. At the same time, you got to sit back and let him do the work that you hired him to do. And he's made a great hire. I think there's lots of momentum, and there's certainly, I think, some excitement and enthusiasm. But there's also going to be people on the other side who are very loyal to Daryl. And time's going to heal this wound, but that doesn't make it easy for everybody. But, you know, we've got a lot of employees in the university, and so you don't have the chancellor making every hiring and firing decision for a reason. Is that I'm going to do the administrative parts of them and leave that to the people who we hire to do it.
You know, the thing that I see that's tough, and I'm going to use an example that maybe the listeners will really be able to understand, and it's just because I can understand it better. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. the question I'm going to ask is, let's say Elm Creek, who is in the Fort Kearney Conference, is the largest school in the Fort Kearney Conference by far. They win quite often, and their coaches continue to stay there for quite a few years. And all of a sudden, let's say that they joined the Lou Platt Conference, and now they're playing Adams Central. They're playing Kearney Catholic. They're going to be playing Wood River, St. Paul, Ord. Their success is not going to be as good. We have to understand that there's going to be a transition. Because of them having 30 kids out for track and taking on SM, who's got 10 kids, they're going to have 30 kids out for track and taking on somebody that's got 50 kids out for track. Now, there had to be some talk about, hey, when we go to the MIAA, we cannot have the same expectations about winning games at 9-2 and 10-1. Like you could in the RMAC. We have to be, if we can't do that, then it's unfair to the coaches. Because I could see it, and I've officiated sports, and I officiated all three of them, and I could see that at that level. And this is like Nebraska going from the Big 12 to the Big 10. They've got a shot to compete. Now, if you take a Northern Iowa and stick them in the Big 12, all of a sudden they're not going to have that success. So my question to you is there had to be some discussion a little bit about this, about, hey, you know, these guys are the same coaches that were going 9-3, and now they're going 3-9. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I think there's a huge difference between high school, because you're talking about the size of a community. You don't get to recruit. You don't have other resources. You are basically, it's a participation sport. Okay. That's a little different in Division I, where it's win at all cost. I mean, spend as much as you can to do that. The number one reason we moved to the MIAA wasn't for competitive issues. It was student-athlete experience. In other words, we took kids off a bus that were having bus rides of 21 hours nonstop one way down to western New Mexico. They're also sending them to Durango. We're sending them to Las Vegas. They're missing a lot of class. And these, you know, how fair is it to those student athletes? And so, our goal here is we're not a Division I program where it's win at all costs. So part of your discussion is absolutely correct. You know, that isn't the sole barometer, because that isn't our sole goal. Our sole goal is, what are we going to do with those student athletes to be competitive? I think you're going to see us be more competitive. It's not going to happen overnight. Some sports were extremely competitive. In some sports, the MIAA would like to see us leave. but that's where you've got to look at where the schools are relative to individual sports. Harder for football than anybody else.
Kind of piggybacking on that, Doug Christensen, our chancellor at UNK, the numbers are up. 5.4, I believe, was the average finish of the teams for UNK this year, which was it was around 9 point something or 10 last year?
It is, and you know, realize that we've got more sports than probably everybody else has, too. You know, we're probably sitting at 17. Depends mm-hmm. on how you count men's and women's indoor and outdoor, so that could be 19. Again, our philosophy is we want these student-athletes to be able to participate. So we have we've probably got as many student-athletes as Texas. We just talked about Texas A&M. I'll bet we have as many student-athletes on campus as Texas A&M has. The issue is, how much money are we giving to them? What are we paying coaches? What do we have for facilities? A&M's mission's a whole lot different than what ours are. And, it's a deal where I think Paul is on the right track here in terms of, you know, he's trying to find more money. At the same time, we're going to have budget reductions on campus this year. Our enrollment was down a little, but we also aren't going to get as much money from tuition this year because our tuition increases that get set next week are going to be less than what our budget obligations are. So we're going to have a budget cut. Well, athletics is not going to be immune from a budget cut. So where are they going to make that cut? You know?
Do we know?
No.
It's
way premature. They're going to, you know, they haven't done that in a couple of years. They're going to have to sit down and decide where they're going to go, just like the English department's going to have to do that, just like history, just like student affairs, just like business and finance. Everybody's going to have to figure that out. We're going to assign out those cuts. But, Kansas isn't immune. Go down and talk to Fort Hays about state budget getting ratcheted down. They've got a real serious budget cut this year. And their tuition went way up. So, I mean, that's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it does seem to me when I looked at and I haven't looked at it for a while, and I'm sure this is something you're very familiar with, but I looked at it probably when we made that move from the RMAC to the MIAA and noticed that the legislatures in Nebraska did not give near as much money to, like, UNK compared to what the schools in Missouri and Kansas were getting. I mean, it was a significant amount. It was almost like $1 million to like 400,000 or maybe even, you know, something close to those numbers, you know, and I'm trying to remember that. But to me, that's an unfair advantage, too. And your thoughts there, what do we do with the Nebraska legislature to help out schools to try to, you know, make it an even playing field with the states we're playing? Because we're playing contingent states. It's not like we're playing, you know, and I know Oklahoma's a double contingent state, but your thoughts?
Well, I think the as much as it's tempting to go bag on the legislature, I probably in good faith can't do that at this point, because what the legislature does is give the university a sum of money. In other words, we get a good-sized budget appropriation, and that goes to the Board of Regents. The Board of Regents then at that point parcels it out to each of the campuses. It's primarily based a little on history of enrollment. It also is based on mission. In other words, it costs more to have doctoral programs than it does an undergraduate program. We spend more in athletics of the taxpayers' dollars than Lincoln does, you know, in terms of gross dollars. They don't use any tax dollars at UNL for athletics. We don't have that base. We don't have TV. We don't have the Division I model, and that's going to get even greater now. But where I think it is you've got to look at what the mission of these institutions are. When we looked at the RMAC, they were kind of a collection of we needed each other. It was a survival mode. Kearney and Pueblo, Kearney and New Mexico Highlands, we have nothing in common. We have really little in common with Regis. You start to look at the MIAA, okay, Emporia has the same history we do. They were Kansas Normal. They became Kansas State Teachers College. They became Kansas State College, and they became Emporia in the university system, roughly the same size. Now, they've got some sports where they spend money differently than we do. We're very competitive there. They've got sports they're not very good in. They've also got sports they're really good in. I think we're a little more like the Emporias. Washburn's a little different school. They've got a law school, they're a doctoral program, and so on. And you'll see those different expenditures, but the money comes to us at the Kearney campus, and our first job is we got to pay people. So 80% of our money goes into people. 5% goes into utilities. That gives us 15% for everything else in the university. That's buying telescopes. That's buying paper, computers, and copiers. That's paying for athletics. So that 15%, unless we're going to start firing people and moving the money over, isn't there. Part of that's history. We've always, you know, the history of our institution is we've always gotten by with a little. You know, that's the Kearney State model. For years and years and years, we'll get by. We have greatly dedicated people, but we didn't spend a lot of money. Well, now it's taken more money. And that's where the rub is. And, you know, that's where Paul, overnight, it's unfair for people to think Paul can generate all this money quickly. Yeah. Because the institution's not able to do that for him. We've been able to raise some good money. We've been able to make some changes. So you'll see institutional money, for example, go into chairbacks this year. That didn't happen in 1 year. We've been saving money for 2 or 3 years to be able to do that. And I think that you'll see more of that. But we all have to live it. At the end of the day, my job is I've got to make sure that we don't deficit spend for the whole institution, because we don't get to borrow money, and we've got to have a blank slate every year that starts at the end of June. So that's kind of what I'm doing. This is timely because that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, it's time to turn the page, and we're almost out of time because we're going to head down to Texas A&M and talk to Kyle Simons here in just a couple of moments. But I do want to get your just kind of overall view. We asked you kind of what we wanted to ask you here. It is the end of the year, not only athletically but academically, and the numbers were out, and Mr. Plinske talked about it at the Blue Gold, the great GPA that the student-athletes have. We know because we keep getting the all-conference, the academic All-Americans, and things like that. But it's another year in the MIAA, 2 years now under the belt of Mr. Plinske. Some of the coaches are continuing. We already talked about some of the changes. So just a little bow. I know it's a broad question, yeah. But anything else that you kind of wanted to point out here?
Well, I think there's great excitement around the university, and particularly in the athletic department. I think there's great momentum, and I think people see that. And I think you'll see it as we go forward. And you know, for example, if people don't know who Kerry Hofstetter is, hang on. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kerry's going to light the place up. And so those are the types of things that make you excited, that I think are good for our student-athletes. We continue to believe that our mission is to graduate student-athletes. And they're more likely to graduate because they belong to an athletic team. Somebody's watching. They're engaged. They're part of the community. They're not homesick because they're too busy. And I think most people forget that these kids have a full-time job. They are a full-time athlete, which means they're all year round lifting, their skill improvement, they're competing, they're traveling. They're also full-time students. But also they're a full-time growing up from 18 to 22. That's a full-time job. So they got 3 full-time jobs here. You don't hear our kids complaining, you know. We've got student-athletes that are doing great things. And at the end of the day, they're not going to remember some of those records. They're going to remember their teammates, the camaraderies, and the experiences they had in life.
Anything else, Jimmy?
No, I agree with what you said there, and I appreciate you answering some of the questions that I asked you, because I was trying to be fair with that. The one thing you did mention when you talked about those road trips, are you surprised a little bit about the MIAA schedule in the basketball?
Yeah.
Because what they're doing is they're making
we're making more trips.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
So what happened was the plan to go, you know, was, I mean, and we do that in life, but this plan to go, hey, you know, we're going to join this conference because it seems, and I don't know if Kansas City and Denver is fair. They're about the same distance. Let's be honest about that. But, you know, well, you're talking about the New Mexico trips. Those were definitely further. But the way they scheduled those games, because in football you play on Thursday nights every once in a while, but usually it's a Saturday game. Yeah. What were your thoughts, or do you have anything you can do about this, or is this something that you're completely out of?
Well, no. I mean, obviously that's what we talk about when we have President's Council meetings. And of course, realizing the MIAA, from our perspective, everybody's a lot closer. I mean, Lindenwood's a little further away, but it's an easy interstate drive. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm going over the mountains in the middle of the winter. But to the rest of the MIAA, we're a long way away because they're not used to traveling. So that, you know, talk to Coach Day, talk to a few of the, you know, even the volleyball, which is kind of getting worked out. But it's not 100% bed of roses. We still got our challenges, and, you know, we're probably going to have deep divisions within the conference about scholarship limits, because we've got people who want to even open up scholarships more. Well, if you're that's gonna further the divide in the haves and the have-nots. Now, you probably also have to look at the conference. What about Northwest Missouri State? What about the Pittsburghs? Would they ever go to Division I? And if they do, that would change our conference dramatically. Right. Depends on how much money the Big Five conferences want to scatter. Right now, they don't have to. The mid-majors, they don't have to entice them. The mid-majors have knuckled under, and they don't have to really do anything to them. But there was a point where the mid-majors needed more people to compete in that division, and they were going to sprinkle money down in Division II to get some of those football programs to come up. I think that's died down, but those are still possibilities.
Chancellor at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Doug Christensen. Doug, thanks so much,
gentlemen.
As always,
great,
buddy.
Jim. Good to see you.
Always great. Have a great summer.
It is summer. I can tell. It's humid out. No, I appreciate everything you do all year. We love the coverage, the reports, and the support, so thanks for doing this. We really do appreciate it, and you know, you're always welcome on campus.
Thanks, buddy. So,
thanks,
see you later.
Thanks for making yourself available today.
Yeah,
you bet.
No
really
problem.
Appreciate it.
Doug Christensen, Chancellor of UNK. I had one other note here. All the sports were done that we wrapped up last week, but former UNK basketball and soccer player Vanessa Leeper-Jones is taking off from Miami, and she's going to work out with the Chilean national basketball team and could be a part of all of that. So there's a little Loper note. We talk about Cole Manhart with the Eagles and so on and so forth. Just another one of the many great athletes looking to take it to the next level. Our Loper Link is brought to you by Russ Smith, Charterwest National Bank, Kearney, offering all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. We're just going to keep on going because they're busy. They're getting ready for a super regional, and we wanted to catch up, and we want to thank Thomas Dick that down there at Texas A&M. They are one of the best departments to work with of all of them, and he's an Aggie now, and he got to experience the joy of the dog pile on Monday night. Kyle Simons out of Grand Island joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Jim Langan. Kyle, good morning. Congratulations. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on. I don't want to forget to tell you that Coach Martinez and all of Grand Island said that they're going to be listening in, so be on your A game today.
Yeah, that sounds all right. So,
what was the experience like? You got a chance to help. You got a chance to contribute during this super regional. What was the experience like here with those long extra inning games against Cal and having to win three in a row after that extra inning loss?
Yeah, just a relentless effort from the team, back and forth on those Cal games, you know, extra innings. And we were the away team for both of those. And so that was kind of tough, you know, to be not have that last at bat in our hands in the last innings. But, you know, the 12th man crowd that we had was unbelievable all weekend. And so to play in front of that atmosphere and, you know, get us ready for the next super regional was unbelievable.
Yeah, Kyle, great job. You had a nice year. And I'll tell you what, people in this central Nebraska area, you know, that's who we're following right now a little bit more is Texas A&M because of you. You know, and tell us a little bit about your role on the team this year and what you've been doing.
Yeah, well, I started out in the bullpen and just kind of came in whenever they needed me. And usually in a long release situation, try to eat some innings up for us. And, you know, was doing pretty well and got a few starts, five starts on the year. And, you know, they just went okay. They didn't go great. And so, you know, I was talking with Coach Childress here and there, and he said, you know, he really wants to go back to what we were doing at the beginning of the season and put me in the bullpen and just have me available, you know, maybe twice a weekend if necessary. And so that's what it's kind of been. And, you know, this past weekend we were doing everything we could to win, you know, the game we were playing. And so sometimes it was for a batter that I need to come in and take care of a right-hander. And on, you know, Monday's case, that Monday night game, it was, you know, coming in and, hey, you know, do what you can. And we're going to play matchups as long as we can. And I came out in the ninth, and he said, you know, go ahead and finish it for us. So,
Kyle Simon's with us out of Grand Island, played for Home Federal. We'll get into that just a little bit here. But Kyle was the National Junior College Pitcher of the Year last season, 13-0. He was down at Hutchinson Community College. At what point, Kyle, did the Division I recruiting interest just get crazy for you?
Oh, I think it started that spring season of my sophomore year at Hutch. And, you know, I was just doing really well, and we were winning as a team. And the phone call started coming in, and, you know, that's when it kind of got serious. And I kind of knew that, hey, that's the path I was going to take. And I was just fortunate enough to get a call from Texas A&M and come down on my last visit, the last visit I took, and thought about it for a couple of days. But, you know, I just knew that, hey, this is the place where I need to be.
Can you share with us a couple other places you were considering and why A&M won out?
Sure. I went to Arizona and had a nice visit at the University of Arizona, and, of course, Nebraska. I really looked into them, and Oklahoma, Kansas State. Those are the main ones. And, you know, Texas A&M, it seemed fitting that, you know, Rod Childress and pretty much our whole coaching staff was at Nebraska at one point. And so I grew up watching them, and, you know, I knew what they were like, and knew that Coach Childress took care of the pitching duties here. And so when I came down here, and just the whole campus, just the southern fit really fit me well. And, you know, there's something about it that, you know, I knew even before I left that, hey, this is where I want to play. So,
hey,
I think another big part was, you know, the Southeastern Conference. The SEC is the best conference in baseball. And so, you know, if you want to put, you know, yourself on that stage and be the best you can be, you got to play the best. And so that was another factor that really factored into my decision.
Your pitches that you throw now, you know, in high school, I mean, I used to work your games. Of course, you probably remember that because, you know, I missed a few calls behind home plate for you. but your pitches that you throw and the velocity, what's some of the things that's changed from maybe when you were 17 years old to what right now as far as the velocity of your fastball and some pitches that you're throwing now, so maybe some different pitcher sliders or off-speed stuff?
Sure. You know, not a lot has changed. Most of it, you know, like all the velocity stuff, that's just part of developing and you know, pitching more than what I pitched in high school. And so I think that helps gain some velocity. And as far as, you know, some of the change-ups and curveballs and stuff, you know, nothing really changes a whole lot with those. It's small tweaks here and there to help those pitches out. But so we do a bunch of arm care stuff here. You know, that just elevates your game. And so my velocity, you know, it's jumped since high school and a little bit since junior college. But other than that, you know, a lot of the mistakes I make on the mound and just with my delivery, it's some of the same stuff that I made in high school and in junior college, you know. And so Coach Childress, you know, he'll come up to me and tell me to do this. And it's like, yeah, you know, Tino's told me that before, or Coach Schmidt has told me that before at Hutch. So, you know, some of the same stuff, but just we have, you know, ample opportunities to excel our game here and to get better in performance and athletics. So,
Kyle Simons, junior pitcher at Texas A&M, after spending a couple seasons at Hutchinson Community College, they won the whole state championship in 2011. And I suppose at the time you don't realize maybe how great the guys are that you're playing with. Will Bosberger, of course, is pitching for Creighton. Max Ayoub, your catcher, just finished up his season here at UNK. How much do you stay in touch with those guys? And is there ever baseball talk, or is it all other stuff?
Yeah, we talk quite a bit. You know, I'll text Will or text Max here and there. And, you know, of course, we keep up on Twitter and Instagram and all that social media stuff. But, you know, we'll check in every now and then. I talked to Will earlier in the year and just asked how he was doing and, you know, how their season looks. And so we stay in touch as much as we can. But it's always good to hear what they're doing and what they're up to. So.
Well, and locally, Home Federal's off to a 7-0 start. They've got Kearney tonight, so we know that's a rivalry. And your coach, Craig Roop, and the golf team won the state championship. So you got a little something started there, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, I heard that. When I first heard the news, you know, I was pumped for him because that's hard to do. And so I'll give them a shout out. That's you know, something I never got in high school with the golf team. So so I'm very proud of them and Coach Rube for getting the guys together and putting a couple rounds together. So that's awesome.
Well, let's get to TCU before we let you get out of here. This is, again, when I'm researching a little bit on A&M, we know how good you guys have been, but just the one CWS, one trip to Omaha since 99, you got the chance to do here by knocking off a fellow Texas school in TCU. What's the scouting report on how good these guys are?
Well, they're tremendously talented group of guys, and, you know, they've been in this place before. You know, they went to the World Series last year, and so they kind of know what it's like. And for them to play at home, I think that, you know, factors into a little bit of their advantage, but, you know, we're just down the road, so we should have a good crowd as well. But they got, you know, some good starting pitching, guys that can mix it really well, and of course they play in the Big 12, so it'll be a good matchup. I think this last weekend really helped our pitchers get some confidence and starting roles and relieving roles, and you know, we kind of ironed some things out as a staff, and there's no doubt that our hitters are going to, you know, take care of business and put some hits together and put some runs on the board. So it's going to be a great matchup. Really looking forward to it. I know our guys are ready.
Yeah, hey, good luck to you and your team. And I'll tell you what, there'd be nothing better than seeing you in Omaha here and coming in and throwing some balls in the ninth and tenth innings of a game in Omaha. And that's a nice ballpark to pitch in, too. You know, it seems to me you can give up something and it may be kind of a bad pitch, but the ballpark's been kind. What is your ballpark like? Is it kind to you, too, or is it kind of a tough place to pitch?
It's honestly kind of a tough place to pitch. We usually get a south wind that can carry the ball out with you know, some pop flies, and so when we get that south wind, it's kind of a tough place to pitch. But it's an unbelievable ballpark here, and like I said, our fans were just had the most support for us that any school could have, and so it's a great place to be. And good last home stand before we try to, you know, get on the road to Omaha.
And we'll wrap it up here with Grand Island's Kyle Simons, now a junior pitcher for Texas A&M. Coach Martinez says when he wasn't pitching here, he was one of the best defensive first basemen that he ever had. They're probably not going to put you there, are they?
No, there's no chance. I don't think I've swung a bat since home federal. So.
Five teams out of the SEC are still alive. Who, to you, is the toughest matchup?
LSU on paper, I think, you know, we've seen them, we've played them, and they have, you know, a great group of men that have been to the World Series before. They know what it takes to get there, and, you know, Vanderbilt has a pitching staff of one of the best in the country. So really, when you look at it, I mean, I like our chances, obviously, but I think Florida's going to do really well, and LSU are going to take care of business, so. We'll see. But like I said, it's one of the best conferences. So,
well, Kyle, we'll let you get back to work. I know you got practice here and got to get work for TCU, and hopefully we can chat with you in Omaha with your uniform on, okay?
You bet. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Take care. Best of luck. Kyle Simons from Texas A&M, Grand Island Central Catholic product, played for Home Federal, has a state championship, the National Junior College Pitcher of the Year last year, and things are going great for Kyle. We appreciate him joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brought to you by TNL Irrigation, TLIRR.com is where you can find out everything you need to know. And if you want to talk to a person, sometimes you don't want to talk to a computer. You know, you're yelling at it going, what? Well, you can talk to Kyle Stewart at R&K Irrigation in Grand Island or Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney. They will help you out and even show you the newest piece of equipment T&L has. That's their navigation corner system. The GPS navigation corner system is like no other, and they can tell you all about it. It makes irrigating so simple. How great would that have been when we were growing up? GPS system from T&L. Don't lug the pipe around. Take care of it with T&L. Around the corner, Sean Ryan from College Baseball Insider, and a lot more to get to. Believers and Achievers, All-Star Wrestling, high school dual teams have been announced. The Nebraska Danger have made a few moves this morning. We got all of it to get to and more after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
The 57th Annual Nebraska High School Shrine Game will be Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock at Foster Field, and you can hear it live on Classic Hits 98.9. The best senior football players from across the state, Saturday, the Shrine Bowl on Classic Hits.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, partly sunny. We'll have scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high near 82. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of storms with a low near 63. Thursday will continue the slight chance of storms with a high near 81. Currently, it's 68.
Doug and Daddy's show.
Just a good
oh, yeah.
Boy.
Did you ever have a general Lee? Did any of the kids, when you were going through school, did anyone ever bring a general Lee? Because, yes, in Ord, somebody did have one fixed up like the general Lee.
I am pretty sure they did not. I mean, I'm not for sure. I guess they could have, and I was just oblivious to it.
I think the gang had one on the lot over at Midway a few years ago. The Midway Auto Group, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, has great deals moving into the month of June. Killian Motors is now the Midway Auto Outlet, Kearney's newest used car location. Midway's pre-owned vehicle selection is at an all-time high and continues to grow every day. So see their full selection in person at the new Central Avenue location or, as always, online at thinkmidway.com. Stop in and choose from a late-model vehicle or a budget-friendly used car that's sure to fit your needs. Choose from their selection of gently-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, vans, crossovers, and a whole lot more. Midway has you covered with a multitude of used cars available on Central Avenue, right behind Midway Chevrolet and the old Killian Motors lot, your Midway Auto Group. We are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show from College Baseball Insider, Sean Ryan joining Doug Duda here and Jim Langan. And Sean, good morning for us. Good afternoon for you. Thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for that intro music. I'm from Georgia, so growing up in Georgia, the Dukes of Hazzard were one of my favorite shows. It was all-time great for me growing up in Georgia, so thanks. I thought you did that just for me.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, it was more than just the Daisy Dukes, but, hey, you know, that there was nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, one of my favorite shows growing up.
Well, let's talk a little baseball. Who would have thought that we'd be talking about Virginia, Maryland, and VCU all still playing this weekend?
Yeah, not many among us. I actually had Virginia winning. That was one of the good picks I had last week going into the regional round, and I thought Maryland might give UCLA a little bit of trouble. I kind of thought they were the second-best team in the LA regional. I guess the only credit I think we could take, Phil, my partner and I on the site, was that we both felt that Dallas was a really difficult region. And usually when we look at the regions and say, you know, which is a tough one, you really start with number one and say, are they going to get out or not, or how difficult is it going to be? And we thought that with Oregon State, Texas, and then VCU with entering with an ERA of under three, the 14th best ERA in the country, we felt, hey, that could be a tough first game for Dallas Baptist. And if they lose, you know, who knows if you're going to face Texas or Oregon State if you can get out of the second round. So we did think that was going to be a challenging regional. I think both Phil and I felt like Oregon State was going to emerge from that regional. So we're not surprised Dallas Baptist didn't make it, but very surprised VCU did.
Yeah, anytime there's an upset or a four seed or three seeds that are winning, people are talking about it. What number one seed won and you thought they looked really strong and they may be really tough to beat?
Well, I think Louisville was one of the one seeds, and Vanderbilt was another one seed that really looked strong and looked like they played excellent baseball. Florida State had a nice weekend as well. But I think maybe the story, and that's a great question, is looking at the one seeds who really kind of struggled to get through or was a little bit more challenging than you thought it may be. LSU didn't lose a game, but they beat UNC Wilmington 2-0 on two different occasions. UNC Wilmington's a fantastic team, but again, as a national seed, the second best team in the country by the national seeds, you would have thought, okay, LSU should cruise a little bit easier than that. And then, of course, TCU, man, what a comeback against NC State. I think Jim Schlossnagel said it correctly, when you score six runs in the eighth inning to kind of close the gap and then come back and win against NC State, you need some help, and NC State definitely helped them win that game. But it was a struggle for TCU. It really was. NC State kind of had its number. So, you know, not as many one seeds, even though 11 of them made it through, not as many as you would have thought coasted through.
We're talking with Sean Ryan, College Baseball Insider, here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We just talked to Texas A&M pitcher Kyle Simons, who's from our backyard here in Grand Island, and got the save in that final game against Cal. Five SEC teams still alive, and all of them could get to Omaha. How many do you think will get to Omaha?
Another good question. I think last time we talked, I hadn't really gone through and projected everything. I haven't looked in-depth in these, but I had TCU beating Texas A&M, but I think that's a toss-up. I really do. I did have Vanderbilt going to Omaha, beating Illinois. Florida and Florida State was a toss-up for me. I've kind of still been tossing and turning on that one. I think that could go either way. I do feel pretty good about LSU getting there. That was a strong pick of mine to begin with. And then Arkansas was kind of a surprise to make it. Not too much of a surprise, but of those, I would say I would take LSU for certain. Florida's got a pretty good shot. And then on the other side of the bracket, I do like Vanderbilt beating Illinois. And then, again, the toss-up is Texas A&M over TCU. So I'll go with three. How about you guys?
You know, my gut always has a hard time with the defending national champion going real deep, even if they're the better team. It just, something weird has to happen. I was with you. I loved LSU. Dave Van Horn, of course, all the Nebraska fans are going to be rooting for him, whether they're better or not than Missouri State. So I think three's a very safe number. And I think A&M, of course, this weekend they looked better. But we know TCU's body of work over the season. I mean, A&M was a former number one 24-game win streak. I wouldn't be surprised to see them all get there, but I think at least three, and I'd probably say four, Jimmy.
The one that I think's intriguing is I think Vanderbilt's playing Illinois, and I think those two definitely are in the top eight. And unfortunately, they have to play each other. When I just liked the way they played this week, I thought that those two teams looked really strong. And I think, man, whoever comes out of that's going to be really happy to win that. And then I think you hit it on the head, too, when you had the Florida-Florida State matchup. I believe that's another one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Down there, that those two teams, whoever wins that thing's going to be strong down in Omaha. So those are the four teams I see. The Illinois, Vanderbilt, and the Florida State. Boy, four teams that, man, if they were playing anybody else, I'd like all four of them.
Sean Ryan with us here from College Baseball Insider. So what about these underdogs, I guess? You've got Louisiana Lafayette. We both really love LSU, so I think we know where we're going there. But when Maryland and Virginia face off, and does VCU have a chance against Miami?
Yeah, I think VCU does have a chance, and I think it really starts with pitching. I mentioned it before. I'd have to go back and research when the last time a number four seed entered the tournament with an ERA in the top 15 in the country. That was an interesting fact about that regional. They just had a lot of pitching in that regional, and one thing about VCU, which is in our backyard right here in Richmond, Virginia, so we know them pretty well, they start with two really legitimate, excellent left-handers. So not only do they have good pitching, but they start with two guys at the front end of their rotation who are lefties, which can give anybody problems. And then when one of your back-end guys has an ERA of 0.7, and he's got about 50 innings now, and he's a lefty. So they're stacked with three really good lefties, three-plus lefties who could pitch in the ACC or the SEC. So for that reason, I'd say they have a shot. In Virginia and Maryland, it is intriguing. They're going to be playing for the Super Regionals for the second straight year. It's going to be in Charlottesville again. Maryland won the first game last year, and then Virginia kind of woke up a little bit more and played better baseball. But Maryland really had a legitimate shot to win that last year. I think this year they played with a chip in the tournament. They, just like Virginia, have been kind of banged up all year and didn't play their best baseball until towards the tail end of the year. So Maryland may have a little bit of an edge, even though they're the road team there. As far as the other one, Arkansas, Missouri State, Arkansas is a two. I mean, I think you could throw Arkansas right up there with anybody. And then, as you mentioned, Lafayette, I think, has been a great team. They're not as solid as last year. They didn't make it out of the Super Regionals at home last year against Ole Miss. I don't see them going in and beating LSU two out of three this weekend.
You know, good point you made about the left-handed pitchers, too, on that team, because it's something if they can go deep in there and get six, seven innings out of those guys, or even the whole complete game, how you just save your bullpen, and which is really important when you have these three-game series, because some of these games are 2-0, and sometimes they get up to be 11-10. The ballparks, I think, I don't know that much about it. I wish I did. But some of these ballparks are offensive-oriented. Some of them are defensive-oriented. And when they're offensive-oriented, the pitching is so critical. Because if you can hold those people to two or three runs in an offensive-oriented ballpark, compared to Omaha, you hold somebody to three runs in Omaha, you're probably the loser.
Well, and that's a great point. So I'll mention a couple of them. Virginia, for instance, is hosting. Virginia is a defensive ballpark. It takes a shot to get out of there. The ball can get out to the lines, straight away right field, straight away left field, into the lines. You really got to hit it well to get it out in the gaps. Meanwhile, you go to a couple of the other places. Florida, the ball kind of jumps out. So you're playing Florida State. Those games, despite having great pitching, those games you could see some elevated scores, some 7-6s, maybe some higher scores than that. So it is interesting to bring that in. Where VCU is going, Miami kind of plays somewhere in the middle there. The ball can jump out of there just like they did. You saw that against Columbia. After Miami was shut out against Columbia, they came up and scored 21 runs when Columbia ran out of pitching. So that could be rather interesting, and that's a point that I made with VCU, writing a piece about them early in the tournament after they'd beaten the second-round game against Oregon State. VCU plays in a minor league ballpark. They're a team that is pitching, bullpen, and defense, and then from there they hope to get some big hits and hope to get some nice string a few hits together, but they're not a power-hitting team. So I think that is a very important point as you look at some of these things where the parks could play into it a little bit. Maryland is built a lot like Virginia, so playing in a huge park isn't that big a deal for them.
We'll wrap it up with this. Sean Ryan, College Baseball Insider. There was probably nothing more entertaining. Those 21-0 games get out of control, but there's probably nothing more entertaining than the three California, Texas A&M games. So which one of these super regionals, now that we've talked about them all, in your mind, will be the most competitive?
I would probably start right there. I've got three that I like kind of above all, and I think Texas A&M and TCU is going to be a fantastic series, and I'm sure you guys talked about it with Kyle. I mean, what an amazing three games those teams played. I mean, that was college baseball at its finest, and it was great that many people around the country got to watch that because it was great baseball from the leadoff batter all the way to through the coaches and everything. It was just exciting. So I like that series coming up. I'm also intrigued by Vanderbilt and Illinois. I think that with Illinois winning 27 straight games, up until that Big Ten tournament loss, two losses they had there versus the defending national champion They've got two guys up for Golden Spikes who are among the final four for Golden Spikes, so Vanderbilt's loaded again. And then the third one that is kind of maybe falling back with some of these regional rivals going against each other is Louisville and Cal State Fullerton. That is just going to be exciting for a lot of reasons, namely because you've got some really high-end front-line pitching. Fullerton's one of those teams that plays in a huge park. They're now going to Louisville, which isn't as big. The ball might jump a little bit more, but you have a team that's been to Omaha the past couple of years versus Fullerton, which is really loaded with pitching, and they can really deal on the mound.
Well, Sean, it's been a pleasure as always. Hopefully we can do it again around Omaha time. I can't wait to get down to the College World Series here in Omaha. So thanks for your time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and enjoy the baseball.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Jim.
Sean, I'll tell you what. Thank you. Your knowledge was really intriguing for me, and I hope our listeners really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thanks much, guys.
Take care. Sean Ryan, College Baseball Insider. Check it out at collegebaseballinsider.com. Hey, this Friday, we will be live at Johnson Lawn and Landscape here in Kearney for their Customer Appreciation Day special two-hour show, 11 to 1. There will be customer appreciation specials in the nursery both Friday and Saturday, and there will be staff on hand to answer all of your questions in the nursery, whether it comes to the landscaping, the hardscaping, which is a little bit more work, or sprinkler questions. They've got it all covered, and we'll be there from 11 to 1 at Johnson Lawn and Landscape for their Customer Appreciation Days coming up on Friday. We've already got special guests coming in. Damon Day is going to co-host Michelle Yu to preview the Belmont. Brian Maher, a retiring superintendent at Kearney High, is going to come in. Obviously, there's some things going on with the Nebraska School Activities Association. He's the board president. We'll touch on Kearney High. We'll touch on that and a whole lot more. Get ready to head to lunch. We've got one more break to bring to you. And if you're looking for a good lunch or just a good meal or a good drink anytime, in the air conditioning, watching your favorite sporting activities, the French Open, the college baseball, the NHL, which gets underway tonight, the NBA tomorrow, the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill is the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Get your favorite food, your favorite beverages. They've got lunch specials every single day for you. They're open 7 days a week because you're hungry 7 days a week. And don't forget their party room, whether it's for a birthday, whether it's for a graduation, a family reunion, or just something to get the coworkers together. They're there for you at the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill. We've got more coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
American Pharoah's breathtaking speed won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Now he takes on the Belmont Stakes, the longest, most exhausting final leg of the Triple Crown. Simulcast for wagering Saturday at Fodder Park. Be there for the Belmont, plus simulcasting from 23 tracks. Breakfast served 10 to 11 a.m. First race, 10:35. Clubhouse open at 1. Advanced wagering available Friday. American Pharoah runs for the Triple Crown Saturday. Bonner Park.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community. All on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Hit this one high and deep. Right center field, way back there, and home run.
Are you looking to hit an insurance home run? Contact your hometown team at the Kroll Agency for protection written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. The Kroll Agency, the IMT Group, and you. A team that can't be beat. The Kroll Agency, with offices in Hastings, Minden, Kennesaw, and Roseland. Online at KrollAgency.com.
It's that time of year again, so dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, a bike show, bike games, a hog roast, live auction on Saturday at 6, enjoy music on Friday night from Area 52, and Saturday from One Horse Town. There will be vendors and other activities as well. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 14th Annual Faces Rally in Upland. Proudly sponsored by BBLC Digital Outdoor, Kearney. Fort Theater Dentistry, Kearney. Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division, Upland. Rogers Foundation, Minden First Bank and Trust. Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Holstein. Pioneer Seed, Doug Bolt in Upland. See you at the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th in Upland, Nebraska.
Sports Talk from the guys who know more useless information than anyone in town.
And your father smelt of elderberry.
KICS Hastings.
KXPN Kearney.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Locally owned Hastings Physical Therapy, chosen since 2002 for excellence in one-on-one care. Even in this rapidly changing healthcare environment, we at Hastings Physical Therapy want you to know the choice is still yours when selecting your physical therapist. We offer convenient hours and parking. Privately owned and next to Applebee's. Call Hastings Physical Therapy at 402-462-2665 to schedule your appointment today.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you wanted. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is holding a basketball camp for any student entering the 3rd through 8th grade on Thursday, June 11th at the 18th Street Hastings Family YMCA. Former Huskers Brian Conklin and Andrew Derivo, along with former Creighton Blue Jay Ryan Sears, will be on hand to develop your child mentally, physically, and spiritually. The cost is only $15, and participants will receive a T-shirt and a Bible. For more information, contact the Y at 463-3139 or log on to hastingsymca.net.
Doug and Daddy's show, wrapping things up on this Wednesday edition. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk with both of the Shrine coaches, Larry Martin of Omaha North and Doug Goltz from Fall City Sacred Heart, as we will be airing the Shrine game Saturday. Gino Bucola of TVG will also handicap the Belmont. Jimmy, you'll be back with us tomorrow, so we'll get to hear a little bit about that, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a deep Belmont field.
How many head do you think will go?
It looks like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. Let's hope a couple more, but it doesn't sound that way. Our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, Alabama Birmingham, they were going to cut their football program. Now they've decided to reinstate it. What did you think? 40% said not a big deal, and then it was split the rest of the way that it's good for college football. Huskers should schedule them as soon as possible, or you didn't even know they had football. Today we ask you, who needs this NBA final the most? LeBron James, Stephen Curry, the city of Cleveland, or the Warriors organization? They're in for the first time in 40 years. Cleveland hasn't won a major sports title in 50-some years. LeBron has a few to cement his legacy. Stephen Curry could knock off the King, and who knows? I think Cleveland's going to be better in the future, so maybe this is Golden State's opportunity. Who needs the finals more? What do you think, Jimmy?
Oh, man, all four need it. Whoever can, you know, this is important to everybody. I don't know how you can pick that, but I mean, if Cleveland wins it, it's going to help with it takes care of with LeBron. You know what I mean? So I mean, when you look at the questions, there's only two questions, even though it talks about four. It's going to cover some things, but I don't know if LeBron actually needs the thing. I mean, it's pretty obvious what he's done, you know, and what we can compare him to a lot of different athletes. Fair question, but it's important to both of those organizations.
I'll say the city of Cleveland, but only the city of Cleveland people that didn't burn jerseys and run LeBron James down when he went to Miami. That's the only problem with this. It'd be great for Cleveland to get a championship. The Indians were close. The Browns
were sort of close a few years ago when the Broncos took care of him, but it's been a long time, so we'll see how it plays out. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Nebraska School Activities Association, in cooperation with U.S. Bank, always hands out their Believers and Achievers Awards throughout the year. 48 student-athletes are chosen. Six are featured each month of the school year, and then last night was their banquet where they receive $500 scholarships, and two of the winners were from our immediate listening area, Andrew Fanning of Hastings St. Cecilia and Justin Hodgson from Overton were winners, so congratulations to those two.
You know, it was interesting when we had Dr. Christensen on, you know, when we were talking about the athletes, and I thought of a couple that have made changes and went to a different institution. And some of them just didn't work out where they were at. And one of them, Marcus Dupree, when he was at Oklahoma, he just didn't want to be in school, and he was mm-hmm. there, and he was unhappy. No one could understand it because he was having so much success playing football. Nebraska, there were two. One, we lost, D'Angelo Evans, was having a tremendous amount of success, kind of hurt a hip, and really wasn't producing, and no one, when he left, it was kind of a negative. And then Scott Frost, who was at Stanford and left Stanford to come to Nebraska and had a lot of success. You know, so sometimes these things work out for the athlete and the student athlete, and that's what it's supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be what was best for the university. It's supposed to be what's best for the student athlete. And I thought he was at least fair in answering that question, you know, when he's talked about the student athlete. So I do appreciate that he did say that. But when you look at athletes, when they make their moves and they leave institutions, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be best for them. They're the one that's paying to go to college. They're the ones that have this 4 years, and wherever they go, it's supposed to be best for them. And sometimes you'd have to break some loyalties when you do that. Doesn't mean you still didn't like where you were at, but you decide, I'm going to move and go someplace else where it might be a little bit better for me, and I might have a little bit of a better opportunity. If you throw the discus 175 feet and all of a sudden now you're throwing it 200 feet, you know, everybody's going to notice that and they're going to want you.
Well, I've got a couple more things to do quickly we want to run through so we can wrap up the show. If you listened to us on Hail Varsity yesterday, it was great to co-host with Chris Schmidt. We talked about the college football national semifinals. They're going to play them on New Year's Eve this year instead of New Year's Day. Tremendous mistake. They're going to play at 3 and 7 o'clock. I don't care if it's New Year's Eve. It ain't Friday or Saturday. Why butcher that day? College football is for New Year's Day. Tremendous mistake, in my opinion. And the DeMorne Pearsonell of Nebraska, Phil Steele's preseason All-American first-team punt returner. We have talked about on the sports, Breon Carnes, the former Husker quarterback who transferred to Northern Iowa, has signed on to be the backup to Jameel Sewell with the Nebraska Danger. So that's going on there. And in golf, the Nebraska Junior Championship going on at the Kearney Country Club today. The youngsters will be trying to qualify for the match play that will take place the rest of the week, and the championships are coming up on Saturday. Also, Danielle Lemick of Donovan won her third straight Nebraska women's amateur title yesterday at Hidden Valley in Lincoln. American Legion baseball tonight. Kearney Runza and Post 52 will be in Grand Island. And for 5 points in Little Caesars, they will take on the Grand Island. So the A's play and the B's play, if that's the easiest way to tell you. And for Hastings, they will be taking on Norfolk. And you can hear the games at Duncan Field on 1230 KHAS. Also, the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association All-Star Duel is Saturday, June 13th in Grand Island at Senior High at 1 o'clock. And among the wrestlers, Austin Olson of Minden, Tyler Bailey of Sutton, Carson Sock of Northwest and his teammate Bailey Dishman, Dakota Hernandez of Lexington, Brian Messersmith of Cozad, Billy Thompson of Grand Island and his teammate Tyler Schreiner, Peyton Shockey of Amherst, Dallas Dupnik of Harvard, and Blaine Pop of Central City. Tomorrow, Larry Martin, Doug Gold, Shrine Bowl coaches, and Gino Bucola. Gino will give us the Belmont. Jimmy will be back with us tomorrow. We thank the folks today that joined us. Doug Christensen, Chancellor, UNK. Kyle Simons from Grand Island, now pitching for Texas A&M. And also Sean Ryan from CollegeBaseballInsider.com. See you tomorrow, Jimmy.
Take care, Doug. Thanks for everything.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.